Happy New Year. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, January 1st, 2014. That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? 2014. We will start off this new year by talking about the annual banished words list from Lake Superior State University. You will hear some words and phrases that were overused or misused in the past year and ended up on this 39th annual list, which was released yesterday. And we will wonder if you agree with the selections, and we will wonder if you have some other nominations. Maybe the word or phrase that bugs you was on a previous list, or maybe you can nominate it to be on the next list. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page, The Joy Cardine Show, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is John Shibley, photographer and staff writer at Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, co-compiler of the annual Banished Words List. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks so much for joining us early on a holiday.
Yeah, I just realized this morning this is the 20th year I've been involved in compiling this list, so I suddenly had that revelation, and I was sitting here waiting for your call this morning. So it's a milestone in both instances of a new year and the third decade of being involved with this whole effort up here at Lake Superior State.
Happy anniversary, and what a fun effort it is, and it gets a lot of attention, and we've talked with you for many of those 20 years on Wisconsin Public Radio. Remind us, though, those who aren't familiar, how this got going.
Started at a New Year's Eve cocktail party between my predecessor in 1975. It was December 31st, 1975. They were sipping cocktails, waiting for the Times Square ball to fall. And they all got started, along the faculty and the staff who were at the party, got started talking about words and phrases that bothered them. And Bill Raby, who was the director of communications, made a bet with a few of them that he couldn't come up with a list of 5 words and phrases that he could put on the United Press International Wire the next morning, that their committee that night decided had to go from the English language, and made a bet that it wouldn't take on a life of its own. And after the ball fell on Times Square, and it was January 1st, 1976, he ran home, typed up the first list, which, by the way, has the phrase "pet rock" on it, because pet rocks were the craze back then, and the faculty were tired of having that come up all the time as a pop mention. Along with 6 other words, he released it to United Press International, and he didn't expect it to go on for more than a few years, but here we are, almost 40 years. This is the 39th list we'll be working on next year's, starting right now. So it's been going ever since.
Yeah,
that's a little backstory. That's kind of fun.
Pet rock. I was going to ask you one of the words on there. That is, and a lot of these words do come from pop culture, or maybe government issues that are going on, current affairs. These are words that maybe came into prevalence in a particular year and were used over and over again to the point where people got sick of them.
Yep, and we have all these new technologies that Twitter wasn't even around 10 years ago, but technologies like Twitter introduced to our lexicon. Abbreviations, we have hashtag verb, hashtag noun, any kind of handle you use when you use Twitter and Twittersphere. So who knows what we're going to be talking about 10 years from now. A lot of it's communication driven, and that's what makes this list so fun to watch, is because it evolves quickly along with the language, and things that bother us come and go. And it's like a time capsule when you go back and look at words that were on a list from 30 years ago, 40 years ago, so on and so forth. That's what makes it such a living thing to participate in.
Well, I want to thank you personally for putting the word selfie on your list. I can't stand that word.
it's it's narcissistic. I suppose, you know, self-portrait. It's always nice to get a picture of yourself with a certain realm with people or something in the background, but it's almost like the ultimate narcissistic statement. You know, it's not a picture until I'm in it. And you're maneuvering, you're looking at the camera, and you're looking back at it. But of course, what gave this nomination its lift was the selfie heard around the world at Nelson Mandela's funeral service, the gathering of the president and the prime minister of Great Britain, David Cameron, and the Danish president, and they were all posed together for a selfie that President Obama had with his phone. And you could tell Michelle Obama was sort of thinking, well, gee, this isn't exactly the correct venue for that. And of course, she had a little glare looking at the trio, but they were all posing for a selfie. And when that selfie was released, everybody made up their own little news backstory to go with it, that Mrs. Obama was angry at them for clowning around, or Mrs. Obama was angry at the Danish president for this attractive blonde Danish prime minister going in on the selfie there. But be that as it may, it generated about, because the media was talking about it so much, it generated several hundred nominations for that word, and floated to the top for this year's list.
Yeah, it was also named Word of the Year by the Oxford Dictionary. So
yep. and they have a different way of approaching this. Mm-hmm. You know, something that reflects sort of the zeitgeist of language. I mean, they're not necessarily saying it's overused. It's just a selfie is what everybody's doing now, because everybody's got these devices that serve as phones and cameras. So there it is.
Right. And I see here David from Lake Mills, Wisconsin, chimed in on or nominated selfie as being a word to ban. He wrote, "It's a lame word. It's a all about me. Put the smartphone away. Nobody cares about you." So David from Lake Mills, Wisconsin, was among those who nominated the word. How does that work?
Well, the nominations roll in year-round. And as you can well imagine, when we talk about this on January 1st, during the month of January, we get a lot of nominations, thousands of them, that roll into a nomination area we have on our website. It's lssu.edu/banished. And that page has a history of word banishment, has this year's list, but then it also has a form that people can kick in nominations for, say, for 2015's list. So we get a lot of nominations up front, and then during the year, as people talk about it, there'll be newspaper articles, it'll be a slow summer, and they'll writers will harken back to it. We have a steady trickle that comes in. But then towards the end of the year, things pick up again. And in that particular case, David decided he'd had enough of, and I'd emailed him back and forth, because we always get permission from people to use these nominations. And so he has two daughters that have these cameras and generate several selfies an hour. So, and one day he yelled at one of his daughters saying, "Put the camera away and do your homework," or "Put the camera away and let's have dinner."
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of inspired him to kick in that comment about the word, you know. And that's where the technology is always being used, because it fits in quite nicely with lifestyle. And if anything like that happens, a word like that is used in the media quite a bit. Do a selfie, it's in marketing. You see it on Facebook. Everybody's posting a selfie. So there's an instance of overuse. And so he wanted selfie removed, because he wanted the phone turned off, and you can do things like talk with the family.
Well, we would like listeners to talk with us on this first day of January 2014, when we are talking about the 2014 Banished Words List. Talking with a guest from the Lake Superior State University, which has compiled this list for the past 39 years. These are words that are overused or misused or just plain useless. What would you put on this list? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
gotta get up.
So that's Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke, and famously or infamously performance of Miley Cyrus during that song is probably the inspiration for one of the words that is on the annual banished words list that we are talking about this hour with John Shibley. He's a photographer and staff writer at Lake Superior State University, co-compiler of this annual banished words list. And we are welcoming your nominations too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And John, another word from the list is twerk.
Twerk. And twerking, which I'd heard of twerking prior to Miley Cyrus's performance, but what really clinched it for our list and our nomination flow that came in right after the Video Music Awards was Miley Cyrus and her attempt to market herself as far away from the Hannah Montana character as possible. If you were designing your career, what's the first thing you would do if you were a wholesome Hannah Montana-esque type character and you wanted to break off on your own? You would twerk and hang your tongue out and do all sorts of outrageous things at a video music award, anger some people, entrance some people, and your career would be helped. And so twerking would be the number one controversial topic for everybody to talk about on the media until you got tired of it and voted for kicking it off towards Siberia for at least for several months, please. So that drew the second highest number of votes, several thousand for that one.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks to her.
Right, exactly. I remember seeing people twerking on Facebook and other things, but it really got a life of its own after that performance.
It certainly did.
So another one, we talked just a little bit about it, was hashtag. And that, I have to admit, you see hashtag, and that's not so bad. You're not saying stop using the hashtag, but stop saying it?
Well, it's starting to, it's something where you have a topic that, it's a string, it's a discussion string, or you set up a Twitter account, and you use a hashtag, and then you have a description, a noun, or a verb that allows people to continue to follow that topic. But what we've been seeing is, while I help with some coursework here at the college, and students are starting to write on papers just a shorthand that they use in Twitter, abbreviations that have always been used in texting. But then they're starting to use nouns and verbs with the hashtag symbol in front of it to sort of carry an idea out of Twitter and continue discussion in email, or, like I said, written on the answer for an essay. So people are saying, leave it in Twitter. Leave it within the context of the use within Twitter. Don't start letting it get into everyday expression when we're talking about other things. And that received, and that was, I don't know if that specific, I think people are just angry because it's a symbol with a word that they can't really relate to, because not all of us Twitter, but our biggest concern is that it's a new construct that's busting out of the Twittersphere, which is another word on here that bothered some people. So the Twitter hashtag and Twittersphere refer directly to Twitter, that wonderful way of communicating and staying in touch.
Yeah, Twittersphere, you write about this, to which we advise, please keep all future nominations to fewer than 140 characters.
Yeah, Twitter's limit is 140 characters, which is good. It's a mixed blessing, because in 140 characters, you have to get your point across, which, if you're a writer, is a good thing to keep in mind, because economy is clarity. But on the other hand, people are going to use more abbreviations, and it'll be more cryptic to read messages then. So this can be a two-edged sword, this 140 character limit, but we'll have to see what happens in the Twittersphere over the coming years, or whether Twitter will be as popular as, say, MySpace was 10 years ago. So.
Peter on Facebook says, In fifth grade, we had a list of words added to throughout the year that we were not allowed to use in our schoolwork. The first word on the list was a lot, and the second was ain't. Banning certain words in the work of school children is fine. For the rest of us, on the other hand, the idea of banning certain words is Orwellian. You want to respond to that?
Sure. You know, and this is a tongue-in-cheek list. We produce this, number one, through nominations. People are saying, get rid of this, get rid of that, I've heard it too much. We try not to include entries that are largely grammatical, bones to pick. We try to use pop colloquialisms that people are getting tired of hearing on the news, on the internet, whatever. And we put this together, and we look for clever nominations. So first and foremost, it's not an official list. We're not trying to cleanse these words from the mother tongue. What we're trying to do, and this is the serious side of it, is to get people to slow down and think about how they express themselves, because a lot of these words are used by reflex. And when you use a word reflexively, it tends to get old. You may not be using it in the proper context. There are so many wonderful words out there to use. And you know, the serious side of this list is sort of holding these words up in a mirror and saying, is this what I really want to say this morning? Sort of like, is this the kind of shirt I want to put on this morning? Do I need a haircut? Do I need to do something different? Is there something fresher I can use? Are these words, they don't necessarily need to be cleansed permanently from the English language, but they bother people enough so they've, you know, several thousand have asked that we've eliminate them, tongue-in-cheek. So.
Yes.
We're not Orwellian, we're not word Nazis, we're just having a little fun with this, and hopefully people pick up on that that sense of where we're trying to go, too.
Right, something to think about. And as you've done this list for 39 years now, there are words and phrases that were on lists in the past that are still being used today, right?
Oh, it's the ones that cause the linguistic tics. Basically was on our list all through the word basically, all through the 70s and 80s and 90s, and it's been dealt with a dozen times. And you can't keep a bad word down. Plus, if you go to our website and you see there's a lot of words out there, you could probably write a book with all the words that have been dealt with on this list.
That would be a project, John.
Yeah.
Mellon Rice Lake, I think, is along those lines of verbal tics. Mel, go ahead.
I would like to see the word exactly pronounced correctly. There's no eggs in it. And also, I am sick and tired of hearing, you know, and I mean. And that's about all I have to say on it.
I would guess you know probably made it one of those years, John.
Well, I'm trying to get down to the bottom of our list. Like I said, there's just a whole lot. Yep, you know is out there in 1974. The ones that were obvious, the ones that are timeless, I think were the first ones that showed up on our list. And exactly, yep, with eggs over easy, prefer the exactness of not using exactly. Okay, well, there's our reason back then in 1983. So keep nominating early and often, and we'll try to get that word scrubbed out as soon as possible.
Thank you very much, Mel, for joining the conversation. You can join the conversation, too, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page, The Joy Cardine Show, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Another word, though, before we go to our news break, is, I bet you got a lot of votes for this too, Obamacare. We get people who complain when we say the word Obamacare. Why do you suppose that got so many votes?
Well, that was a prefix that was floating around after the 2008 election. We had Obamanomics, a few other constructs that had Obama as a prefix. And it finally settled on Obamacare for obvious reasons, because it's in the news a lot and it's been talked about and it's been controversy, a lot of controversy about it. And, of course, the government was shut down for a while over the Health Act. And, well, before you know it, Obamacare has been overused, and it's time to think of something else that's a little more original when we talk about the Health Care Act. So that helped that appear. That received about a couple thousand nominations.
Greg on Twitter says, drives me nuts when sportscasters use physicality instead of athleticism. Physicality?
Well, athleticism. Physicality. Well, you may have people that think athleticism is something that should be banned, and that was out there in, I'm just looking at the old athleticism, 1991. So, and now we have athleticism moving up in the what's considered to be the proper use, and physicality, which was on the list in 1998. So what do we use instead? How about skills or talent or something like that, I suppose.
There were a couple of words from the sports world that are on the list. We'll get to those after we check news. Also, a few more on the from politics that are on the list and more from popular culture. And we'll continue to take your nominations for words that you think should be on the banished words list. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Hey, Justin, what's up?
Not much, Jimmy. Hashtag chillin'. What's up with you?
Just been busy working. Hashtag rise and grind. Hashtag is it Friday yet?
Hey, check it out. I brought you some cookies. Hashtag homemade. Hashtag oatmeal raisin. Hashtag show me the cookie.
Sweet. Hashtag don't mind if I don't. Pretty good. Hashtag getting my cookie on. Hashtag I'm the real cookie monster. Hashtag no, 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 no.
That's a clip from Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake demonstrate what a Twitter conversation sounds like in real life. And hashtag is one of the words on this year's banished words list from Lake Superior State University. The word watchers from Lake Superior State University have released their 39th annual list of words and phrases that ought to be banished. We are talking about the words and phrases on this list, and we welcome the ones you wish you could stop hearing. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:38 actually, on this Wednesday, January 1st. Happy New Year. Talking with John Shibley, photographer and staff writer at Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, co-compiler of the annual banished words list. And as mentioned, hashtag on the list, twerk and twerking on the list, selfie, my personal favorite. Least favorite selfie is on the list, and many others. And we're welcoming the words you wish were banned or banished. Oh, I forgot Twitter sphere. We've already talked a little bit about that. We had an emailer just before news time who was upset about some words he heard in the world of sports. What are the ones from the world of sports, John, that are on the list?
Well, we have adversity. And sometimes when you see a crack quarterback or halfback and they're being asked to produce a play that moves the ball forward at least 5 yards to the first down, they're under extreme adversity to perform. And our nominator from White Lake, Michigan, mentions for that word adversity, facing adversity is working 50 hours a week and still struggling to feed your kids. Facing 3rd and 15 without your best receiver with tens of millions of dollars in the bank is not. Mm-hmm. So he has a beef with the way the word is used and the context of the professional athlete who's going to have a payday regardless. And if there's a big payday involved, he's got a lot of pressure removed from his shoulders. So adversity showed up on the list. Fan base. Rather than use the word fans, why not use two words, fan base? Apparently two words are twice as better. So, and those were the only two that really cleared the chaff this year for sports. I'm sure there are many, many more. I personally would like to see more from sports come through the chatter, and I would advise anybody who's listening to, if they want to get a good start on 2015, give us some neat words and phrases, especially with the football season and basketball in full swing along with hockey. There's got to be some good stuff we can pack the ballot box for next year. So, and that's lssu.edu/banished/banished, and you can kick in for next year's list.
Let's go to Orville in Madison. Hello, Orville.
Hi. Good morning, John. Good morning, Mr. Shively. Every time I hear the expression, thank you for having me, it makes me cringe. What's wrong with the word, well, you're welcome? But moving forward, which is another one, you'll never get rid of the term like. But how about trying to banish the term exactly right?
Exactly
right. Right. Exactly right. It's either right or it's not right.
There we go. A lot of them in that statement. So
it's binary. It's either right or wrong. And exactness, I guess, is a different degree of being right. But you know, it's extra calories using to. It's an extra adjective to make it sound like it's even more precise. So we have exact same that showed up on our list twice in 1981 and 1990. So that's the closest I can do for you on your beef. So
what about moving forward? I thought that
moving forward, that sounds vaguely familiar.
It does.
Scroll down to the M's and most move. Oh, I thought it was on there. Mm-hmm. Moving forward. It's fair game. Give it a shot. Pack
there we
the box.
Go. And he wishes people would just say you're welcome rather than, you know, no, thank you, or thank you for having me. When someone
well, in our neck of the woods, it's always no problem.
No problem, that's right. Yeah.
And no problem, like you were, like you're afraid you're in, sort of creating a little inconvenience for the person who's helping you or serving you, and yeah. Thank you very much, or you're welcome. It's simpler is usually better, and we're all for that. And that's the kind of discussion we hope to foster when we have lists like this.
Josie in Sheboygan thinks we need to stop using awesome for everything. She says that's something more appropriate for looking at the Grand Tetons than the everyday way we use it right now. Guilty.
Well, you have to ration your awesomes, yeah.
Right. Ration your awesomes. John in Richland Center is with us. Hello, John.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I have, I think you guys is used for women and men. I think it's disrespectful. And whatever.
Whatever, John. that in fact showed up on another list of the most annoying words. Another university, I believe, polls people on what do you think is the most annoying word, and that came up recently, that whatever, said in a dismissive way, John, is the most annoying word ever.
You're either angry and you say whatever, or you're running out of things to say and you say whatever. It's sort of a peter out word. And that did appear on our list in the fine year of 1997. So, but as I alluded to earlier in the program, basically has been attempted banishment for 8 times, starting in 1978, going right up until 2006. So if whatever is still sticking it to you, you can seek revenge by going on our website and voting for it. And voting for it again, but also having a clever reason why you want to have it get banished. Because remember, this is tongue in cheek, and we're looking for a little humor as well.
Brad on Facebook says, "Job creator."
Job creator. I could have sworn we had that out there.
Yeah, I thought so too. It seems like maybe last year would have been the year before last.
It would have been a perfect time to put that out there. Job creators, job creation, 2013.
There we go.
There you go. Right above Joe Sixpack from 1997. So.
Oh yeah, I remember that one. Well, what else? What else in the word in politics? We said Obamacare in our first half hour. Oh, here's another one: intellectually or morally bankrupt. Yeah, that's true. We have heard that quite a bit.
Has an air of haughtiness to it, like you're passing final judgment on something or someone. But the I like the way the nominator points out or asks, really, the rhetorical question, are there any intellectual creditors to deal with intellectual bankruptcy? So, you know, that's 20 characters in there. If you were doing a Twitter message, you'd be running up against your limit in no time if you use phrases like that or words like that. So time to think of something simpler.
Saul emails, existential, even when it was a word of its own in the 50s, was intellectual fluff. I think I'm pronouncing that right, existential. Now it is used by earnest reporters to mean actual. I guess I haven't heard that much.
I haven't either, but it wouldn't surprise me if I heard a $20 word on a nickel errand. So.
Make it simple. We are talking about the 2014 Banished Words List from the Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. This is the 39th year that the university has released this list. And we have been talking about it just about all of those years on Wisconsin Public Radio around New Year's Day, talking with John Shibley, photographer and staff writer at Lake Superior State University, co-compiler of the annual Banished Words List. And we are talking about a lot of the words from the past year that were overused or misused or just plain useless. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So which words from this past year would you put on this list? Are there any selections from this year's list that you admit to using and don't think they're all that bad? I bet you have other nominations, though, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Right now, we are talking about words that ought to be banned. Actually, tongue-in-cheek, we are talking with one of the co-compilers of the Banished Words List. Some of the words on this year's list include selfie, twerk, hashtag, Twitter sphere, and there are many others. What would you like to add? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. One more from the list, John Shibley, is Mr. Mom. Wait a minute, I thought I saw that movie about 30 years ago.
Yes, and it was a comedy about a hapless Michael Keaton who was sort of saddled with raising kids, and everybody yucked and said, oh my gosh, look at this guy, he can't do anything right. And, you know, it's been popular for 3 decades, and I guess there are a lot of people, a lot of men specifically, who are being stay-at-home parents, and they just don't think that old imagery applies to them anymore. There's a little more depth, a little more sweat equity that's built up as being a home stay-at-home parent, and they're ready to let go of the Mr. Mom label as it applies to them. So you can read some of the nominations that come from stay-at-home parents, looking at the full list here, but all of them, society is changing, no longer odd for a man to take care of his children. I am a stay-at-home dad, parent, and if you call me Mr. Mom, I'll punch you in the eye. A lot of frustration with having the Keaton Mr. Mom label that's archaic, used in this day as it applies to them. So
I get it. Yep. So even though that movie came out a long time ago, it's been around, and people, these are stay-at-home dads who say to stop using that term.
And I think there is a program on now on television. I do all my reading and listening on the web with a tablet now, so I don't watch much television. But I've been told there's a TV program now that sort of pokes fun at stay-at-home dads. It's the same way the movie did, and I think they're just tired of that. So we'll give them a hand and try to help them along with their cause on that, because that received close to 1,000 nominations just alone. So
next we go to Paul in Middleton. Hello, Paul.
Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year.
My pet peeve, and has always been, and I believe we can trace it back to the so-called great communicator, President Ronald Reagan, is the phrase that just imbued our political lexicon, the window of opportunity. You either have an opportunity or you don't. You don't have something called a meta opportunity, you know, and that just, sorry, I just said, you know, it drives me insane every time I hear a politician use it. We have an opportunity to do something, or we don't have an opportunity to do something. End of story.
It doesn't have to be a window of opportunity. John?
Oh, well, we have window of opportunity. I just saw it before I moved my cursor. I'm trying to look at the date that it was added to our fair list here. Looks like 1987, right around the time of Reagan.
That
so
was, he was
that
right.
Is actually a word that speaks to the political era. So I'm sure people were hearing that, and they wanted it banned, and we included it on the 87 list. So
it really is amazing.
More often, yep, keep voting for it, but it's something I haven't heard really as often as I did when I was growing up in the 80s. So, yeah, if you hear it, let us know and make sure it stays down.
I was going to say, though, it is amazing when you look back at all of the lists that you've put together. It really is a lesson in political and popular culture, because it's all there.
Well, and the very first five-word list we put together had pet rock included on it, because there was a trend where everybody wanted a pet rock, and you could buy these pet rocks, and people were just appalled that you'd spend $10 on a cardboard box and a piece of granite, and you call it a pet. So, when I bring that up, a lot of people don't remember what pet rocks are. You had to be from that era and live through the 70s to understand what a pet rock is. So, but that's on our list, and it's like a little milestone in how we express ourselves from the 70s. And 39 years of doing it, you can definitely pick out words and phrases that reflect the times.
Howard in Green Bay is with us. Happy New Year, Howard.
Oh, Happy New Year. Yeah, one I've been hearing in the news, I guess it's a political phrase or news phrase you hear a lot, just started this year, more and more, shelter in place. And you hear it, it's reflective on our growing culture, I think. And you especially hear it prevalently used in areas of the country that encourage disarmament of the general population.
And what was the first part of the phrase that you mentioned?
Shelter in place.
I don't know if I've heard that a lot, Howard. It's shelter, like a warming shelter. But shelter in place,
yep,
and it has something
right
to do with the Second Amendment, Howard?
It's like get inside and stay there and let the authorities do their job.
Oh.
But hide and get inside and don't be involved. And it's generally heard in areas that are generally gun-free zones for the general population.
Yeah, I don't know if I've necessarily...
I haven't necessarily heard of that. I've heard of lockdown, which is a prison term that we're now using when there's a crime scene at a school or at a mall. Everything's locked down, or neighborhoods are locked down. So that sort of speaks to our times, and that's sort of a sad word to use. But I haven't heard shelter in place.
Yeah, neither have I. Thank you,
Howard.
You're
welcome to nominate it if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dan in Shawano is with us now. Hi, Dan.
Hi. A couple of, or an expression that is misspoken constantly, that being, I could care less, when they mean to say, I couldn't care less. And it's said with such disdain, too. It's farcical. The other, using the word like when they mean as.
Yeah, well, I've heard those as pet peeves before. John, have they ever made the list?
Not necessarily. I haven't seen I feel your pain, I know where you're coming from. I didn't see like down there. Let's see, like. Like, see also, I'm like like I said, like to, all from the 80s and 90s, so they show up. There's a signal on our list that deals with those irritants. So, and this harkens back to using the list as a way of really examining how you express yourself. Because when, like I said, shows up on a list, you immediately think, "Do I use that?" And suddenly you realize you do. So you try to think of clearer ways to express yourself. So, The word banishment list is a good therapeutic for the people who are bothered by a word as well as for the people who use words. So
we haven't yet gotten to a couple of items on the list. Suffering suffixes. Tell us about those.
Oh, we've had snowmageddons. A friend of mine, when we had a steak fry on July 4th, he called it his steak-pocalypse. And so ageddon and I can't say it this morning, apocalypse, tacked on the word of events. They're suffering suffixes, and you see them a lot in the world of marketing. You hear it a lot when weather turns bad, it's going to be a snowmageddon. Nominators are very tired of hearing that construct, and they're ready for something fresh in 2014. So please, retire the suffering suffixes, please.
Yeah, snowmageddon does make it around here quite a bit with the winter.
Oh, yeah, it does up here, too.
Yeah, well, have we missed one? Oh, yeah, we missed T-bone.
T-bone, which has been in the lexicon for car accidents for quite a while, because visually the cars are perpendicular, one runs into the other, T-bones. But people think it's become an anachronism, and they prefer to just relegate it to stakes. And then something on steroids. If it's new, improved, it's on steroids. It's really pumped up. So is that necessarily a good thing? How much higher can you go into the Twitter sphere if something's on steroids? So that made the cut this year. And with that, I think it's not a very big list this year. It's only 13. So some years we've had 35. So it was there was a lot of economy in this year's cut. So I'd like to see something more. So for 2014, if we want to bump it up a few more, I'd like to see more nominations.
Right, and you can make those nominations on your website, which we have linked to our website and the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And at the end of the day, Mike from New Berlin says, at the end of the day should be banned. What do you think, Jen?
At the end of the day, I think, at risk. Oh, here we go, 1999, at the end of the day. Up there with at, and then right after we're at this point in time from 1976. That's a phrase from the first list. So at the end of the day, has been dealt with, but we can certainly add it again if it gets enough votes.
Well, it's another good list, and it food for thought. That probably has been banned too, I bet. But we will talk to you.
Nobody wants to ban the list yet, but yeah, I'm looking forward to 2015.
And we will talk to you next year. We'll let you sleep in on New Year's Day, though. We really appreciate that you were joining us early on this holiday. Thanks a lot.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Joy, and Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Happy New Year. John Shibley is with Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.